Let's go back to James chapter 4. It says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In other words, you're not going to be healed because of your own physical strength. Be humble. Turn to God. Therefore, submit to God. That word submit is a military term. It's like a private submits to a sergeant, and a sergeant submits to a lieutenant, and a lieutenant submits to a captain, and a captain submits to a major, and a major submits right on up. Of course, the private, he got to submit to everybody. So that word means submit to God. In other words, it isn't about what you think, it's about what God says. Make the decision, I am in Christ, and I am underneath God. Submit to God. Resist the devil. That means resist those thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God. You got to take them captive. You got to say, no, I refuse to have that thought. Let God be true, and every man a liar, and devil, you're sure a liar. And you got to call the devil a liar. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That means sickness will leave. Sickness and the devil are synonymous. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye double-minded. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, if you're double-minded, then your heart's not settled either. It means two-souled. You got two souls, two minds, literally. You know, there was a man by the name of Bunyan who wrote a book called Pilgrim's Progress, a very, very famous allegory. I think they've tried to make a few, movies out of it. But in that, he had a character called Mr. Facing Both Ways. He was double-minded. Mr. Facing Both Ways. You can't face both ways and get anywhere. Sounds like something from Alice in Wonderland, doesn't it, Mr. Facing Both Ways? But there's a lot of Christians facing both ways. They face one way, and then they face the other way, and then they face the other way, and guess what? They're always facing the devil. A person with two minds, notice it says submit to God and resist the devil. So a person with two minds or two streams of thought or two sources of information can't hold fast to his confession, can't hold fast to his faith, and he can't hold fast to anything from God. Does that make God mad? No, that makes God very sad. Because God wants to heal. You know, salvation was not man's idea, it was God's idea. And he can't receive what God wants him to have. You know, God wants to supply all of our needs, but it has to be through faith. So the double-minded man can't decide. He's undecided. He has too much information. And today, it's a problem. I've said this before, but when I talk to somebody and they can pronounce all these unpronounceable words, I take this medicine and, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. A double-minded man can't decide to submit to the Word of God or not. Therefore, he can't resist sickness. See, you've got to learn to resist sickness when it comes knocking. Once you get healed, don't think that the sickness wants to be out in the cold. It wants to be where it's 98.6 degrees. Amen. And it'll come knocking. The devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. God wants to heal you, and God will heal you when you stop being double-minded. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I just saw this. I was looking at these faith and love scriptures, and I noticed 1 Corinthians 13, and this irony just struck me. I want to try to convey it to you. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is about the gifts, primarily about the gifts of the Spirit. Not totally, but he said, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual matters. Gifts of the Spirit, we translate some of those things, but it's things of and pertaining to the Holy Ghost. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. He talks about the gifts of the Spirit and the body of Christ. And then chapter 14, he goes back and talks specifically about prophecy, tongues, and interpretation, gifts of the Spirit. But in chapter 13, we call it the love chapter because it's primarily about love. But I noticed verse 13, and then I noticed the irony of that. Let's just start 1 Corinthians 13:4. It says, love suffers long and is kind. This is talking about God kind of love. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now what I'm going to talk about here is almost as damaging to people's faith as the wrong teaching on Paul's thorn has been. So let me go on. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Because he was a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Then is when we get to heaven, or when Christ comes. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now this is the last, before he gets into chapter 12, where he goes back talking about the gifts of the Spirit again. Now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, skeptics have taken verse 8, 9, and 10 and tried to say that the gifts of the Spirit and therefore healing is not for today. So let's just look at it. Verse 8 says, when it says love never fails, it means it's always going to be. It's talking about when we get to heaven. When there's prophecies, they'll be gone. Tongues, they'll cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will pass away, because you'll just know everything. For we know in part and prophecy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. The Bible says it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall be like him when he appears, for we will see him as he is. So they've said, well, that means the Bible, that which is perfect. So the Bible has come. We've got the Bible. So tongues and prophecy and all the gifts of the Spirit and healing, that's all gone. They said that for a lot of years, and then somebody called them on, what about knowledge? You people think you're full of knowledge, but knowledge has passed away. They got rid of that argument. They're knowledgeable boys. They got an alphabet after their name that proves their knowledge. So, but what struck me, what his really was saying was verse 13. But now, he's talking about then. Don't want to concentrate all the time on the then. Let's talk about now. Now continues. That word abide means continues, remains. The Weymouth translation, so there remains faith, hope, and love. The World English Bible says, but now faith, hope, and love remain. So now remains faith, hope, and love. These three. Well, faith, hope, and love is how you get healed. Instead of proving you can't get healed today, it proves you can. How ironic. Do you see it? It absolutely proves that healing is for today because faith hasn't been done away with. And when the woman with the issue of blood came and Jesus said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Well, if her faith healed her, your faith will heal you. So, and certainly love has not been done away with. Now, they've tried to take hope. And of course, faith gives substance things hope for. But if you just take now remains faith, hope, and love, that's a great blessing. Just the opposite of what the hole they tried to dig. Faith, hope, and love. See, if you've got faith, hope, and love, then you qualify for James. And you can get anything. Right? Absolutely. Jesus said, if you can believe, which is just the verb form of the noun faith, it's just putting your faith to action. That's what believe means. Faith speaks. First thing you speak it, it's mine. I've got it now. Thank you, Jesus. So if you can believe, if you can put your faith to work, all things are possible. That's still here today. Mark 11:24. What things soever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Faith's still here. They can't tell you faith's been done away with. It has for some people, because faith comes by hearing. If you don't hear, but the Word of God is still infused with faith. And if you squeeze it, faith comes out. Amen? 1 John 5:4, for whatever or whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And how is that done? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God sees you as a world overcomer, not under the semi. A lot of people see themselves as the last. There was a song, "The Last Guy." The song said, that guy's so alone, he don't have a street to lay down on for a truck to run him over. He's the last guy. God sees you as a world overcomer. Amen?